Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is not the author of confusion. That word confusion there means tumult. It means disorderliness. We believers sometimes have this thing where we enter into a tumult and a disorderliness in our hearts and in our minds. Our frames of reference become a little bit confused. A little bit disorderly, where things don't have clarity sometimes. How many believers have said that things are not always cut and dry? Things are not black and white? How many believers have said, you know, there's not real clarity here? Well, if there's not clarity, then what they are experiencing is a little bit of confusion. A little bit of disorderliness in the thought life. A little bit of uncertainty towards their relationship with God, towards the vertical receptivity from God. A little bit of disorderliness. But God is not the author of this confusion. This confusion doesn't come from God. There is a place where it comes from, but it is not from God. And there's a number of things that can bring this in. But you see, the problem as a believer is when I live in this kind of a disorderliness of the mind, then I run into some severe problems. This is going to be a really practical message today, I think. Overcoming confusion. In the Amplified Version, it says, for he who is the source of their prophesying is not a God of confusion or disorder, but of peace and order. Okay, so God is the source of proper preaching. And it brings peace and order to my heart. I was talking to somebody recently who had gone away for a little while on some family, for some family time. And certainly that is proper and in order. But this person told me when they did that, they could sense that there was a lack after having been away from the Word of God. And this person was absolutely right. If I take myself away from the Word of God, there is a lack. This is one of the reasons why we put all our messages on the internet, so that people can hear and then they can hear again. Or when people are not able to be here, then they can receive the message nevertheless. Because my soul does not go on vacation. Right? Nor does God. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. Certainly, it's a healthy thing to do with your family once in a while. But my soul does not go on vacation. The enemy does not go on vacation. The old sin nature doesn't either. And certainly, God never does. But how often when we have something we have, we neglect the Word of God? And when I get into that neglect of the Word of God, confusion comes in. A little bit of disorderliness in the thinking. Not outright sin, not yet. But a little bit of disorderliness in the thinking. When there is confusion, there is instability. If I have instability, it's because I have two minds. Right? If I have instability, it's because I have two minds. I have the mind of the old man and the mind of the new man. But all of a sudden, without that clarity from the Word of God, the mind of the old man and the mind of the new man, they begin to be hard to separate sometimes for me. Because other things start coming in that I'm no longer really able to subject to the mind of Christ, like my emotions, for example. They start coming in and they start responding to circumstances and no longer am I quite as sharp. I'm not necessarily cold or dull or anything, but not quite as sharp as I need to be. Can you imagine a soldier, like picture the armor of Christ, a soldier who has a bad sword. Maybe the sword is not properly sharpened or is damaged or cracked. if that soldier goes into battle, he's not going to do well if he doesn't maintain his sword. But likewise, if I do not maintain my heart in the Word of God, I will not do well because I have an enemy who is pursuing me as a roaring lion, seeking to devour me. He wants to destroy us. And the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. We can't enter the warfare with carnal weaponry. Yet believers try to enter the warfare with carnal weaponry. Are we spirit-filled? You know what's a good way to tell if you're spirit-filled? If you're word-filled. If you're word-filled, you will be spirit-filled. How do I know that? In Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "Unto us a child is born, and his name is Word of God." In Revelation 19, his name was Word of God. Do you understand the importance of the pure Word of God? It's the only thing you have. But so many believers, we don't really take it for what it is. We take it as a habit, as a good habit to be into. Read your Bible, it's a good habit. Have you ever heard anything similar to that from anywhere? Read your Bible, it's a good habit to be into. Or this is one of my favorites. The Bible is a handbook for living. Have you ever heard that? Show of hands, yeah. Bible is a handbook for living. The Bible is not a handbook. That's blasphemy. The Bible is not a handbook. The Bible is that which became flesh. The Bible, the Word of God, is the name of the Savior. It's the name of God. Look it up yourself, Revelation 19. His name is Word of God. The one that was on the white horse, clothed in a vestiture dipped in blood, his name is Word of God. And he had it written on his thigh, on his strength, and on his forehead, on his mind. I need the Bible. I need the Word of God. I need preaching that is anointed. And I can't say to myself, I can do without it. I can't say to myself, oh, I can get a better job elsewhere. I can do without the preaching that is anointed. You know what? Your eternity is going to be a great deal of fun that way. Don't you realize what you can take to eternity with you, and it's not your job, and it's not your best friend, and it's not your television? Don't you realize what you're going to take into eternity with you is only the Word of God that you've stored in your heart, the souls you went to Christ, and the cups of cold water that you've given in His name? That's the only thing you're taking with you. It's like that joke, right? That guy dies and says, "Can I take something with me?" And the angel says, "You can take one suitcase." And he buys all this gold and he pours it in his suitcase and takes it to heaven. And then his angel's standing with him, and another angel comes and he says, "I can get why he wanted something to take with him, but why pavement?" Believers store up pavement. Right? Isn't that what we do? Believers store up pavement. Don't store up pavement. Store up gold, silver, and precious stones. But don't store up pavement. They've got plenty of pavement. They don't need yours. And neither do you. The Word of God is everything. It's not only is it everything, it's the only. It's all there is. Oh, Satan will give me options. I was talking to a woman one time and she said, "Yeah, we love our church to have great music." There's nothing wrong with having great music in a church. I think we've got great music. But you know what? You don't pick your church for your music. Right? You don't pick the church for... She said, actually, the preaching's a little bit soft, but the music is great. I love it. You know what? You go for a concert. That's it. You're not going to church, you're going to a concert. The Word of God is the only thing. Because that is what became flesh. I can't get to know Him apart from that. In Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word vision there, that's not talking about a vision like for my future or a vision like... That's talking about divine instruction in categories of doctrine. That's what that word means. That's divine instruction of categories of doctrine. And where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no divine instruction in categories of doctrine, the word perish there means scatter. Satan comes in and scatters the people. Why? Because there's no divine instruction under an anointing in categories of doctrine. I can't operate that way. I'm not made to operate that way. The best that I can do is try to figure things out on my own. The best that I can do is wood, hay, and stubble. But God gave a prescription for how to have a life with Him. And that life only comes through the rich Word of God. And nowhere else will I find a relationship with the Savior, because the Savior was the Word of God incarnate. So how can I say that I have a relationship with God, but I don't have a relationship with His Word? It's like saying I have a relationship with Ashley, but I don't have a relationship with him. Ashley, leave your brain at home. I just want to talk to you. Doesn't work that way. I don't think she'd be happy that way. We say to God, God, I want a relationship with you, but I don't want a relationship with your mind. I want to be able to pick and choose those aspects of your mind that favor me. I don't want the full counsel. I want that which pleases me. And that spares my flesh, that eliminates the cross. You know what? One of the things that I noticed in Greater Grace churches, and other churches I'm sure also, but we're Greater Grace. So one of the things I've noticed, and not just this one, but all of our churches that are fruitful, and all of them are fruitful that I know of, is you come through the door and it takes about 2 minutes before you meet the cross. Why is that such a big deal? Because the cross is where life is found. People think the cross is where their death is found. It's not. The cross is where life is found. You see, pre-cross I have death. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But when I go through the cross, I find resurrection life. I have been made alive with Christ, nevertheless I live. I have been crucified, nevertheless I live. Not I, Christ who lives in me. At the cross I find life. But how many try to spare their natural life and end up in fact losing it? There's nothing about the natural life that can be spared. God has crucified the old man. I find my life through the cross. I find joy through the cross. I find happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment. Those are all on the other side of the cross. Freedom from self, freedom from worry, freedom from anxiety, it's all on the other side of the cross. But confusion says no cross. Confusion says, no, let me figure it out so that I can preserve my emotions. Hey, do you know where your emotions are healthiest? Is on the other side of the cross. Why? Because you're no longer trying to preserve a dead man. You're no longer going through that Romans 7 experience where you're lugging a dead man on your back and saying, who will deliver me from this body of death? What I want to do, I can't do. What I don't want to do, I do it. Who's going to deliver me? You know what the answer was? No condemnation. But no condemnation is only found on the other side of the cross. Right? There is no other place. There is no other place where I find no condemnation. It's only on the other side of the cross. On this side of the cross, my heart condemns me. On the other side of the cross, my sins were laid upon my Savior. And that's my experience. On the other side of the cross, I have freedom. On this side of the cross, I'm in bondage to myself. Confusion comes when there is a lack of the Word of God. Because the mind of Christ is absent, and the mind of Christ is not confused. But if I have a lack of the Word of God, I will mark it down, I will have confusion. There's no other way about it. In Psalm 71 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." How do I put my trust in God? I can't work it up. I've got news for you. You try to put your trust in God in the natural man, and you'll never have trust in God. It's always going to come up short. You're going to be arguing with yourself. Right? Just like Paul, you're going to be arguing with yourself. Trust God. I can't. Trust God. I can't. You know, that's a pre-cross condition. And don't be condemned if you're there. We're all there from time to time. Confusion comes when there is no trust in God. But faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God in Romans chapter 10. And how will they hear unless there is a preacher? Faith comes by the auditory sense of receiving the Word of God and letting the Word of God produce that faith in me. You're not going to work up your faith, and you're not going to get... You know what a lot of believers, I think, do? And this is not to indict believers. This is actually positive. But I think it's really important that we identify trends in our lives. Because if I don't identify trends in my life, I can never make grace adjustments in my life. We believers, we can do this thing where we think our faith is not so much faith, but the absence of a challenge to it. You know what? If there is no challenge to your faith, there is no faith. Right? If all I have is sight to go by, I don't have faith. If there is no trial of your faith, there is no faith. Because how do I have faith apart from the trial? I can believe God, but the demons believe and they tremble. I can say Jesus is the Son of God, but the demons called Him Son of God. That's not faith. That's simply recognizing that which is obvious. Without the trial of your faith, there is no faith. But the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. In 1 Peter 5, gold perishes. It's more precious. The trial of your faith is more precious than pavement. Why? Because it's gold, silver, and precious stones of the eternal kind. Confusion. Confusion says, run from the trial. Clarity, the Word of God, the mind of Christ, He says, stand still and know that I am God. And see the salvation of God when you stand still. That's clarity from God. But confusion says, run, you must defend yourself. In Isaiah 45 and verse 16, they shall go into confusion together that are makers of idols. What does that mean? When I try to run from something or to something apart from the mind of Christ, apart from God, I am running in idolatry. Right? Why? Because the very thing that causes me to make a decision that is apart from the will of God, apart from the mind of God, that is an idol. It is something that I'm reverencing in my life, and that which I reverence will be the foundation of my decisions. So my actions are based on what I am worshiping. This is why fear is such a dangerous thing. People make decisions out of fear all of the time. They take themselves out of the will of God all of the time because of fear. They say, I am afraid, I have to do something. And God says, the thing to do when you're afraid is stand still and let me take care of it. Because the whole point of being afraid is that that is confusion. How do you make an intelligent decision out of confusion? Never make decisions when you are afraid, by the way. If there is fear, make no decisions. Why? Because if there is fear and you decide on that basis, your decisions will be the wrong ones. And it will be called idolatry. Because something other than the mind of Christ, something other than God, has caused you to start making decisions. You've decided to submit to something other than God. Well, if I'm submitted to something other than God, I'm in idolatry. Something else is God in my life. No. Perfect peace. Right? Perfect peace, which comes by the love of God. Which comes through the Word of God, because great peace have they that love Thy Word. And nothing will move them. That's what comes when there is clarity. But there will be no clarity apart from a healthy doctrine of the Word of God. This is why the enemy attacks the Word. I read a statistic, or heard a statistic the other day. There was a large poll of Christians done. 89% of Christians say that the preaching in their pulpits is not good. That's staggering. That is staggering. 89% of Christians say that the preaching in their pulpits is not good. What an attack. Like, what's the purpose then of that pulpit? To have a social club? You don't need a church for a social club. Just go over to the golf course, you'll find one. And you can sleep on Sunday morning. Some people do anyway. Apart from the Word of God, the believer will have great confusion in their life. That confusion is difficult. I can't allow myself to enter to that point where I am neglectful of God's Word. If I have entered the point where I am neglectful of God's Word, then I've been deceived. If I enter the point where I'm neglectful of God's Word and I'm okay with it, then I'm already operating under the throne of iniquity. And I have confusion in my life. And I will be scattered. What will it do? It'll cause me to rely on things apart from God. It'll bring idols into my life. In Isaiah 30, the trust in the shadow of Egypt is your confusion. Egypt is talking about the world system. The trust in the illusion of security in the world is confusion. Yet we do that. The trust in the illusion of security in the world is confusion. And James 3:16, where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But apart from the Word of God, where nothing is there to regulate my soul, nothing is there to give me the mind of Christ, I have nothing other than strife. Why? Because it's the mind of God that builds the fruit of the Spirit in me. But the works of the flesh, strife is among them. I can't do that. In Jeremiah 3:25, we lie down in our shame and our confusion covers us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, and we and our fathers from our youth unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of our Lord. What is it that's sin? Whatever is not of faith is sin, the apostle said. It's not that I go out and I murder somebody or something ridiculous like that. No, well, certainly that's sin too, right? But don't do it. But what is sin? Whatever is not of faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word. Confusion is the manifestation of a lack of faith toward God. And that lack of faith toward God is present because I have no Word resident in my heart and my mind and my soul. I have no structures in my soul to rest in that have been built by the Word of God. I have no hiding place in my soul from the enemy and from the world that is built by the Word of God. Confusion sets in. How many believers go into this place, and we all do it from time to time, where they say, I don't know. I don't know what I should do. I don't know what I should think. I don't know how to respond. I don't know if this is right or if that is right. You're living in confusion. Stand still and get built up in the Word of God. A believer like that needs to find a place where they're preaching the Word of God better than anywhere else they can find it and get buried there. I did intend to say buried there. Why? So that they can have the newness of life. So they can operate outside of confusion. So they can have the newness of life. Hey, wake up, listen. Did you know that God has a newness of life available to every single individual on this planet? There's a newness of life, and it's found on the other side of the cross through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit imparting that Word to your heart. These people who are mopey and sluggish all the time have no newness of life. They have confusion. But they don't have the newness of life. Does their cup overflow? Or do they usually operate out of the bottom of the cup, you know, where the coffee is bad? Or does their cup overflow? That's why it comes from the Word of God. Pastor Stevens always used to say the highest form of worship is concentration on the Word of God. That's why we have a Bible college. So people can be trained in the Word of God rather than striving in the efforts of the flesh. By the way, the missionary has the greatest risk is the missionary that's inadequately trained. By the way, you're a missionary. I don't feel like a missionary. Are you in the New Jerusalem right now? If you're not in the New Jerusalem right now, you're a missionary. Get over it. Well, I want to be a missionary when I'm older. Why don't you start being one now? And that way you can be sure you're going to be one when you're older. Right? 5 years down the road, I'd like to be on the mission field. You know, you're on the mission field now. What is it? Oh, you mean you want to take a plane ride 5 years from now? That's what you're saying. You can take a plane ride now. Don't know why, but you can take a plane ride now. Confusion.
confused.
Some of you need to get trained. And God has been calling you, and you have been ignoring it because you're operating in natural constructs of preconceived notions apart from the cross. When God, and you know this is true in your own heart, God is calling you to Bible college to be trained by veteran pastors and missionaries, not by a veteran of a school class. But people who've been pastoring on the mission field for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. Some of you in this room are being called and you're ignoring the call because of preconceived notions out of a religious construct. And you know you are. You're not telling yourself I'm ignoring the call. You're telling yourself I'm considering my options. The spirit-filled believer never has options. There is only one option for the spirit-filled believer: will of God. That's the only option. Some of you belong in Bible college and you're not there. And God calls it rebellion. Sorry if you don't like it, I don't really care. That's what the Holy Spirit is bringing. And you know in your own hearts it's talking to you. You know it is. The best thing you could do, humble yourself and get there next spring. Because you have a call on your life. And that call is not going to be manifested in fullness apart from proper training in God's Word. What are you going to give people? Right? What are you going to give people? You can't answer that one, can you? Thou will keep him in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. Because he trusts you. My mind has to be stayed on my Savior. It is not going to be stayed on my Savior unless I have His mind. What will I have without His mind? I have two minds. I have the Holy Spirit living in me, trying to speak to me, and I have the natural man trying to talk back to Him. And He says yes, and the natural man says no. And the Holy Spirit says yes, and the natural man says no. The Spirit says, do it God's way, and the natural man says, I want to do it the way I get it. And God says, do it God's way, I want to get it the way I get it. You know what? The way you get it is meaningless. Do it God's way. Boy, that's an overwhelming thing. There are people in this room who are called to Bible college in Baltimore who are avoiding it. And you know it. You know it. Why? Religious constructs out of preconceived notions through natural thinking. Some of you need to get to Bible college, not next year, next semester. And I know who you are. This is the Holy Spirit. It's right. I mean, you do it what you will. You're a believer priest. You stand or fall before God. But the Holy Spirit said to say it. I said it. It's now your responsibility. But some of you belong there. Next semester. Not next year. Next semester. Stop putting God off. Where are we? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of a sound mind. Right? A sound mind. How are you going to have a sound mind without His mind? When your head is sick and your heart is faint, His mind is the right mind. His mind is a sound mind. You're going to have fear and you're going to have confusion. Fear is simply a form of confusion. You're going to have confusion apart from a sound mind. Get to Bible college, learn how to have a sound mind. I don't mean your religious elementary school mamsy-pamsy. Oh, Jesus is wonderful today. It was wonderful yesterday too. I'm talking about real meaty categories of doctrine that transform the soul, transform the heart, transform the mind, transform the person, and make them into a spiritual stinking Rambo. Instead of a fluffy little Christian singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Nothing wrong with that song. It's a great song. But you know what I'm saying. Get some G-U-T-Z guts and get to Bible college. Why? Because that is the highest form of education. I know people who've gone on the mission field with their 6-week training camps or whatever they have and call it some kind of training. It's not training.
When you get to the mission field,
please. Be missionaries here. Right?
People say, "I'm going to go and be a missionary in whatever land."
Be missionaries here. You're not in whatever land. Be missionaries. Why postpone obedience to God? Hey, listen, doesn't Proverbs say in 11:30, "He that wins souls is wise"? Doesn't it say that? Does your Bible say that? Show of hands, my Bible says that. He that wins souls is wise. Then why don't people always win souls? Why is there no lifestyle of soul winning? Because they're not missionaries here. That's called arrogance. Arrogance was when I exalt myself above obedience to the Word of God. That's called arrogance. But you don't hear this in some fluffy pulpit, do you? That's called arrogance.
Can't call them arrogant. They might not give next week.
I don't care if you give next week. No, do it God's way. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. Get a little bit of humble. Get a little bit of guts. Get a little bit of discernment. Get a little bit of wisdom. Get yourself trained properly in the Word of God. And then it doesn't matter if you stay here or go there. You'll have the training to be wherever you are. Get trained in God's Word. Now it's mamsy, pamsy, fluffy. This is what I feel. Oh, it makes me feel good to think about it. You know what? You're not ready for the mission field. Pastor Shibeli, one of the greatest missionaries of all times, laying in the gutter, nasty things coming out of him from every direction you can think of because he's got dysentery and cholera and malaria and all these other things. You think he felt really good about being a missionary? People get these idealized Candyland notions of what mission field really is. Mission field is here and now. Airplane rides don't make missionaries. And the mission field is wherever God sends you. And if you've been sent here, then the mission field is here. I think a good acid test is soul winning. Quick and dirty, soul winning. Is there confusion in the body of Christ in a local assembly? You know how you can tell? Do they soul win? If they soul win on a regular basis, starting with the pastor, because it always starts with the pastor, then there's clarity and divine vision. But if they don't, then there is rebellion.
I wonder how many people I'm offending.
Ha ha! you know, I don't care if I'm offending you. I'm much more afraid of God than I am of anybody in this room. If I'm offending you, get right with God. This is right out of His book. That's funny. Hey, Paul the Apostle spent 3 years on the backside of the desert being personally trained by God before he opened his mouth. That was the Apostle. Sound mind. The sound mind. Let's close. How should we? Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You've got so many of them, and you're out. And there's not one thing you can do to change that. And you can close, you can stick your hand in the sand, you can stick your hand in the sand. You can stick your head in the sand all you like. Can't see my hand. You can stick your head in the sand all you like. It's not going to do a hill of beans of good. You got so many days and then out. And then you get to meet your Savior. And then what is real will be revealed. Candyland is not impressive to God. Christian games are not impressive to God when He sent His Son and brutalized Him. He's not interested in Candyland Christianity. He said, "My son, give me your heart." That means give me everything. Nothing withheld. The believer has no options. Only if they're deceived do they think they do. I have one option if I'm a real, experiential, spirit-filled believer. And that's the option of His will. And apart from that, it's confusion. Apart from that, it's confusion. Right? That's why Jeremiah said in 15:16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Thy word was found, and I did eat. Doesn't say I left it there. Doesn't say, "Oh, that's nice," and go off to other things. No, thy word was found, and I did eat. And apart from that eating, there is no depth of joy. And apart from the word, there is nothing but confusion. Amen.